All right. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today for our curbside check-in panel discussion. Today, we're joined by Noah Roth from SUNY Broome, Marcia Riley from Purchase, Diane Fulkerson from Brockport, and Ann Saluzzo from New Paltz. And I thought I'd give you each a chance to introduce yourselves a little bit. So Noah, do you want to go take it away?
Sure. My name is Noah Roth, and I am the electronic resources librarian at SUNY Broome. I was prior to that the access services librarian. It's been helpful to have that background to set up this this service, and I've worked pretty closely with the access services librarian, current access services librarian, to get this thing going, and also had some assistance with our systems librarian. So it certainly hasn't been just me that set it up. It's been a nice team at the school that has been working together to get this going.
Great. Thanks, Noah. Marcia?
Hi, my name is Marcia Riley. I'm from Purchase. I'm the circulation coordinator at Purchase. I've been with Purchase for 20 years. And this has been going along okay. It wasn't easy in the beginning, but I believe we worked out almost all the kinks. So we're up and running and we're doing well.
Great, thank you. Diane?
I'm Diane Fulkerson. I'm the library director at SUNY Brockport. And to get the service up and running, I worked with library operations and the folks in circulation and ILL to get it up and running. Been at Brockport a little bit over a year. Prior to that, I worked at one of the campuses of the University of South Florida overseeing their library services. So with the advent of COVID, we had to be creative to continue to offer library services. In this case, the pickup of library materials out of the collection and through ILL. So, look forward to this discussion.
Great. Thank you. And Anne? Last but not least.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ann Saluzzo. I am the circulation manager at SUNY New Paltz. I started in May of 19 at New Paltz, but previously I had the pleasure of being a part of the Geneseo, MCC, and GCC communities. So it's great to see some familiar faces. So this has been a really fascinating time for New Paltz. So it's been really exciting, though, to see all the really cool things people have come up with to make services possible. So I'm excited to hear what people have to say.
Great, thank you. So without further ado, we'll just jump into the questions. What portions of your collection are available for curbside pickup, and what user groups may place curbside pickup requests? And I'll follow the same order that I did with the introductions. So Noah?
Okay, yep. All of our circulating materials are available for curbside pickup. So that's not including reserves or a reference. And all of our user groups are able to place curbside pickup requests. So faculty, staff, students, and community users can place those requests, which is helpful for community users since they're not permitted in the building at this time.
Nice. Marcia?
So what's available at our library right now, the main collection is available, which includes regular loan books, popular collection items. I believe bound journals are also in that category. Only faculty and staff are able to take out the academic collection DVDs. Popular collection also includes DVDs too, but there's academic collection DVDs, which are short-term loans, and our reserves. Those are only faculty and staff only. and the user groups that are able to borrow are faculty and staff, and our students, which consist of regular freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, and grad students.
Great, thank you. Diane?
Sure. All portions of the collection, with the exception of course reserves, unless the faculty member has set them up that they can be checked out. But for the most part, it's all of our collection, the academic collection, the bound journals and DVDs. And it's open to anyone in the academic community at Brockport, current students, faculty, and staff can borrow materials and check out materials from the collection. At this time, we're not loaning materials to the public, and we've restricted access of the library just to the current students, faculty, and staff. So we are not allowing the public to come into the library. So that's made a difference in terms of who we lend materials to throughout the semester.
Great, thank you. And Anne?
So we're allowing a checkout of the Stax collection, so media, books, oversized books. The only thing that is not checked out is the course reserves. This has been a really exciting time for the reference team, have with all the great work they've done to find alternative resources for the faculty at this point.
And do you have any restrictions on user groups that are able to check out?
Yes, it is restricted right now to the campus community, so including staff, faculty, students, retired faculty.
Great. All right, thank you. Next question. How are your users submitting curbside pickup requests? Noah?
Well, our users are logging into Primo, and when they do that, they'll see a link in the get a request portion of Primo. So there's a link there to request curbside pickup, or home delivery. It's up to them. There's a little notes field, which they can, put additional information in if they'd like, but that's about it. That request goes into Alma as a patron physical item request. And when the book gets scanned into the hold shelf, a letter goes out to the patron with a link for them to schedule a time to pick it up. And that's a link into the LibCal spaces. So the letter also requests that the patron call the CERC desk when they have arrived, just in case they show up a little early or show up a little late. We try to monitor the spaces requests that come in, but we're pretty short staffed right now, so that can be a bit of a challenge, which we can talk about later. But that's generally how the process works for the patrons.
Great, thank you, Marcia.
Yes. So we have somewhat piggybacking off of Noah. We also have our patrons submit their request through Discovery Primo. And inside their request, it goes into Alma, just like Noah was saying, and it generates a letter. And on that letter, it indicates that they have to book it through an appointment through LibCal. So they go into LibCal and they schedule an appointment for a contactless. We call it contactless pickup because our library is not close to the curb for us to go out and even bring materials and stuff like that. So, yes. Uh-huh.
Cool. And Diane?
We're doing something similar to what Marcia just said, that it's a contactless pickup. And so users will enter a request through Alma. It's a hold request. It gets pulled by someone in circulation, and the user will get notification from us that the item's been pulled. And we're also using LibCal spaces. And what we have are a series of lockers. I think there's about a dozen of them. And they're assigned, their materials are assigned to a locker. And the user receives notification as to, they schedule a day and time with circulation to pick those up. And so it goes, it's placed into a locker, and then they get the information and they go and they pick it up through there. And so far it's worked, worked quite well.
Great. And Anne.
Hi. Our students are, and other community members are using Primo to submit a request, which then generates a letter that, and we're not using LibCal. We're using a system called TwinkleToes that was previously used for booking study rooms. So thanks to the amazing tech team that our school has, was able to reconfigure it to help with it. So that was really exciting to see what we already had in-house. So students, after just knowing what the directions were able to adjust. So that was really exciting. So moving forward with that, we've been able to, when we first started this, we invited people to give us a call with the notification. But now we've been able to designate an area at the CERC desk that is removed enough that they can come pick up their items once they schedule an appointment.
Nice. All right, let's move on to the next question. Is your library scheduling specific curbside pickup appointments? And if so, what software are you using to schedule those appointments? Noah?
We are using LibCal, and it's working pretty well. We're doing 10-minute bookable appointments. Like I said earlier, we're also including in the letter that gets sent out a request that the patron give us a ring. And so far that's worked out pretty well.
Great. And Marcia?
We're using LibCal, they book it through appointments. We created an event. So in this event, they go in and they schedule. So we have them in blocks of at 1 hour time blocks, and we offer it between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. With a 15-minute takedown window. And we have four people. We started out with three people per hour that we allowed to come in and book an appointment, but we increased it to four based on the volume.
Great. And Diane?
Yes, we're using LibCal spaces. And like I said previously, they're materials for folks. They can pick up the materials anytime the library is open, which is from 7:30 in the morning till 10 at night. And so we've scheduled the appointments, the user can select the day and time they're going to come and pick up. They can change that if necessary. And then they're assigned to a locker and they know where to pick it up. And when they pick up the materials, we know they've picked them up because there's a QR code that they can scan. And so we know they've come and picked up the materials. So it's pretty easy. And so far, it's worked quite well. We haven't had any complaints. No one's walked off with someone else's books, which is a good thing. So it's using the spaces and setting that that area up designated for library pickup of materials has worked out quite well.
Wow, that's great. And Anne?
Hi. So when we started off, we did initially half an hour booking slots that could accommodate roughly 10 people. We were able to open up that, if I could speak today, that'd be helpful. We were able to open up to a much larger community because of the demand. So that was very helpful using the TwinkleToes software, once the ALMA request was completed.
Awesome. All right. How are you handling item pickup? Are users interacting interacting with staff, or are you using self-checkout? You know, we've kind of covered a little bit of this, but go ahead, Noah.
Well, currently, users are interacting a little bit with staff. We'll check out the item to them prior to the pickup, and then we'll either run it out to the but we'll just run it out to the curb to them, to their car. We are testing out a pretty neat self-checkout web app that SLSS has provided. So we may be moving to that. We're still sort of in the testing phase, but it's a nice option for us to have. So that's something we're looking into.
Very cool. All right, we may actually have another panel discussion on that at a later date. Marcia?
Yes, so right now we have very little interaction. Well, we do have interaction with the staff. There's not much contact. We have it where the patrons, when they come in for their appointment, they step into the vestibule of the library, they display their ID on the window, We then check out the materials to them, and that's including interlibrary loan items as well as the regular library collection items. They then step out of the vestibule. We then bring the books into the vestibule for them on this counter that we have, or ledge. We place them there, then they come back in. So this way there's now more than one person occupying that vestibule at a time.
Huh. Great. And Diane?
Our users have very little interaction other than emails or phone calls with staff. And so all the materials are checked out to the user prior to their coming to pick them up. So really there isn't much for them to do other than to step into the vestibule foyer area of the library and pick up those materials. And like I said, you know, the only thing interactions they might have is if they need to change the date or time that they're going to pick up the materials. But for the most part, there's very little person-to-person contact with users to pick up materials.
Awesome. And Anne?
There is very minimal contact when we have a patron that is coming to pick up their materials. The materials, Diane, thank you for making that distinction. We do check out the materials before the person is able to come pick up the items. So the contact, you know, for that process is already completed. So they come in, they do the contact tracing, tapping in with their ID on the sensor, and then they go down to the end of the counter to pick up the materials. And so there's still protection behind the plexi.
Awesome. All right, thank you. How have you been handling the integration of ILL into a curbside program? Did you notice any necessary changes to your process? Noah?
So for us, it hasn't been all that different, to be honest. The only thing we really had to do was add a link into LibCal in the letter that gets sent out to the patron when the book is checked into the library and is ready for them to pick it up. So that's really been the only thing that's been different. We might end up kind of pre-checking it out to the patron before maybe the day before they're scheduled to come in, but other than that, the process has remained relatively the same.
All right, thank you. Marcia?
Yes, so The only minor change that we had with interlibrary loan was actually the letter. Just like Noah stated, we updated the language in the letter to indicate to include a link to the curbside pickup, you know, when they can schedule an appointment. So when that becomes available, when they go to scan that in ALMA, they also, it generates a link as well on a letter to say that their item is available and then make an appointment and then they come in and get it.
Great, thanks. And Diane?
Same type of thing. We had to, you know, we changed the letter they receive, and there's a link to indicate that they need to schedule a contactless pickup of their materials. But otherwise, it really didn't have much of an impact on the overall ILL process. And it's, you know, works pretty much the same as it did before. So other than changing the letter, there wasn't much that we had to do.
And Anne?
We had very minimal changes. When this was initially being discussed, you know, we were looking at, you know, things like the letters. For instance, previously we wouldn't check out the item until the person came to pick up the ILL item. So that, you know, that process was slightly changed. So items are now being checked out prior to the person arriving. So it was consistent also with other, you know, STL collection items. I don't really have any in particular at this point. We've had a slip that we would ask in the past that patrons would sign that they've received it. So that has been worked through.
All right, great, thank you. How have you marketed this service and set expectations about this service? Noah?
Yeah, we have tried to heavily promote this service through campus news, which is called the Buzz at BCC, the faculty news, which is called the Focus. We've sent out some kind of mass emails to students. Made up some slides for display screens on campus, and tried to, you know, promote it through LibGuides Answers, through the library website, and, you know, so far our problem is not heavy use. We've gotten some use from the service, but at our library, you know, we're a community college, so the library has been kind of heavily encouraged to remain open to the student population. And I think the students that are coming into the library, generally speaking, are using services in the library. And they may go up to the circulation desk and, you know, request that a book be brought down to them and not even, you know, bother with the Primo interface. So that's been a little bit of a challenge for us, is trying to encourage students to use this service. And as we'll see what happens over the winter, you know, COVID cases have kind of picked up a little bit in Broome County. I've noticed that our curbside pickup is also starting to pick up.
Interesting. Yeah, great. Marcia?
Yes. So we initially started how we marketed this. We sent out a BEM to the campus community, explaining the service that we're providing for the campus community. Our librarians definitely market this full force on social media, on the library's webpage. The faculty and staff so far have been getting a lot of feedback from the librarians that they're so happy that we're providing this service to the community.
Awesome. And Diane?
We marketed it similar to other folks on this discussion using campus communications. There's a daily newsletter that goes out to all faculty and staff. We use that. We did email blasts to students. We have it posted throughout the library. So we, you know, did a number of different ways. Most of our ILL and requests for materials out of the collection come from faculty. So they've been heavy users of this service. And so talking to the folks at Circulation and ILL, they seem to indicate things are back to normal, so to speak, in terms of requests. So they are aware of it and they are making use of it.
Great. And Anne?
We've been using a variety of platforms to get the message out. Starting, you know, for instance, with the reference librarians working with new faculty and also faculty that are, we're trying to get the semester started up. So, you know, kind of filling them in that regard. The Daily Digest was another place that that information was shared. Social media. Also, Mark, our dean, was sending out messages every so often to the campus.
Awesome. And I'm just curious, did any of you notice that that requests were being made before you even really promoted it, the program? Did that happen to anybody?
Yes, we actually had a mystery one.
Yeah.
Yes, we had faculty members because of one of our interlibrary loan librarian. So we had some of that before it went fully out to the campus community. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
We had one really, really great instructional designer who follows the library very closely, who submitted a request before we put out any information at all, which was nice to have happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to see who's on, who's doing searches all the time and seeing the differences. Okay, thanks. How many staff are involved in running this service? Noah?
So we are, we're now pretty short staffed in the library. We've had a couple full-time clerks retire and most part-time clerks have not been rehired. So it's up to the three staff members who are in the library at every given day during the week. There's usually one or two librarians and a clerk. And those are the people that are handling it. So we kind of rotate in. So you could say it's all of us that are managing the service, but I would say it's primarily two folks. So it's a clerk and a librarian that are handling day-to-day operations of the service.
Great, thank you. Marcia?
Yes, so altogether we have six. We have a team of six, but two work at any given week. You know, doing the contact list, like on the days that we offer it.
Okay, Diane?
For us, it's the folks at the library clerks at the circulation desk, and we have two during the day and one at night. So really there's three folks. And their shifts overlap. So at any given time, we might have three people at Circulation who are involved in setting up and making the service work.
Great, thank you. And Anne?
We have 5 to 6 people in any given week involved with the process. It has been two clerks primarily in the mornings. But there's other people, including Yvonne, that have stepped in, you know, also on given days to assist.
All right, thank you. How are you handling quarantine, both the physical aspect and the time aspect, based on OCLC's Realm project results? Noah?
Yeah, so the We're doing it a couple different ways, but we had been sort of quarantining items and by placing them in bags in the art gallery, which is closed off at the moment in the library. But according to I think it was the wasn't the latest set of results, but one of the other ones came back that suggested it was better to lay items flat on carts. So that's a shift that we've done to try to limit the transmission of any virus. So we have some book carts in the gallery, and we lay the items flat on shelves in these carts, and then stick a sticky note that indicates the date, so we know when this item is ready to be circulated again.
Great. Marcia?
Yes. So we're quarantining the items. We had a little discrepancy in the quarantine periods from because of the constant change in the Realm project results. But we're quarantining the items. As they come in, we check them in. We then place them. We have this whole system now. So we take it off the patron's account. We check them out onto our account, and then we put them on a shelf up at the circulation desk. But we have them standing like if they was on display, so that it's not, nothing is underneath the item. So it's like standing in display mode on these shelves. And we leave them there for about 2 to 3 days or so. And then we check them back in, and then they go back into the general collection. And the same thing when we come back the next time, because we don't have the service every day like most of you. So we get chance to breathe. The items also get a chance to breathe before we check them back in.
Awesome. So when you say they're in display mode, they're like actually in cradles?
No, they're actually standing up and on display, like to air out. Uh-huh. So like the DVD cases, we actually open them up, stand them up, and okay. Leave everything in there. And the books are actually standing up like if it was on display on a table, so everything is just standing up to breathe more so than isolated.
Awesome. All right, thanks. Diane?
When materials are returned to us, they are checked back in, and we are using, similar to what Noah said, we're using book trucks to separate them out and keep them in quarantine. And so they lie flat on the book trucks, and the book trucks are labeled items to be held quarantine. And so we keep them in quarantine. I believe it's 3 days. We're sticking to that. After the 3 days are up, we do then put those, reshelve them. We also have some disinfecting wipes that we're using on DVD cases. So we're using a combination of things, but the primary use that we have is book trucks and just lying them flat and for the 3 days that they're, in quarantine.
Yeah. All right. Great. Thank you. And Anne?
So we're doing a kind of a combination of some of the things that were already mentioned. We are using book trucks. We're labeling the day that they were pulled and then the day that they need to be taken off of quarantine, just in case, somebody didn't know how long it was for. What we're using is our, because we had a number of group study rooms that are not accessible to the public at this point, so we've kind of taken over. We've been able to spread out the items. So that's been very helpful with that. We haven't really explored necessarily quite the wiping down of the DVD cases, but Diane, I really like your idea. I'm going to have to piggyback off that and maybe get back to the group about that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that is a good idea. All right. This is my last question. Please talk about your experiences so far. Have you run up against any unanticipated issues or found solutions? Noah?
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of problems so far. It's been very seamless. The only issue that has come up is it's tough with a short staff to monitor the request pickup schedule. So, you know, somebody should put a request, a pickup request in at the last minute. It may not be seen by staff who just are busy doing something else and, you know, haven't been able to look at the window that monitors that. We've, you know, tried to kind of get around that by requesting that the patron give us a call when they get here, and this that's worked out pretty well so far. But there was a case early on when someone had, you know, scheduled a time and the staff that was there missed the request, and the person came into the library, which kind of defeats the purpose of curbside. So we've tried to stay on top of that as best we can. You know, I don't know if anyone else has found a better way to monitor the schedule. I tried to kind of integrate the calendar, but we didn't have good luck with that. We have some restrictions on our Google Suite. So when we tried to set up a service account, it didn't match the domain name and couldn't work in our situation. So yeah, I'd be curious if anyone had better luck with that or had another method that they were using to just keep on top of that curbside request notification.
Great. All right. Hopefully we can get some answers on that. Marcia?
Yes. So we had a couple of issues that we didn't anticipate. Well, we had conflicts where some people's schedule didn't coincide with our contactless pickup schedule. We did make a special arrangements at the last minute for this particular, it was a faculty member. However, I did encounter also a student, similar situation, but that one I wasn't able to accommodate. So it's also, we take it case by case, but our main issue that we didn't anticipate was all of the slots that we had. Like I said, we had in the beginning 3 slots per hour, and we ended up being booked one day all the way through. So we was booked to capacity, so we decided to increase because we started noticing a habit, especially certain days, they were being booked more than the other day. So, and especially at a certain time. So we just decided to increase, and we said we'll play it by ear. And if we decide that it needs to be increased again, then we will just do that. But we're just right now maintaining, and we're doing okay.
Awesome. And Diane?
We haven't had any major problems. I think the biggest problem we have is faculty forgetting to pick up the materials, or students or staff forgetting to pick them up. And so, you know, an individual, it works at CERC, and they're like, well, it's been a week. Should I just put them back on the shelf? And so we've come up with a way to remind people that, look, your materials are here, they're all checked out, you just need to come over and pick them up. But I think that's really been the biggest issue, is that people don't show up on the day and time. But we do have several faculty members, if they're unable to make that pickup, they have contacted us and let us know that they need to change the date, or if there's an item that they requested that they realize they no longer need, they are getting good, better at notifying this. But I think those were the only two problems, was they requested materials and then didn't need them, or they just forget to pick them up. So we are working our way through, but so far we seem to have come up with solutions for both of those.
Great, thanks. And Anne?
Honestly, I don't have a recent one. I mean, there's been, you know, some tweaks along the way. I think early on, and just because we were learning what Twinkle Toes was capable of in our case, was we were have early on, you know, people would have a reservation made after we already had gotten the list, you know, for the polls for that day taken care of and on a cart for them. And so one of the really nice things that Christy Lee was able to do was to put a buffer on when people could put in a request, like say that they wanted the 11 a.m. Blocking, they would have to have it in before 10 a.m. that morning. So that would give us that window to be able to do that. So that helped out considerably just in terms of managing expectations with that. But whereas since we still use the same system, even with just accessing the library in general, they are able to make those reservations, you know, when they come in, if necessary. So there's, you know, that flexibility built in.
Nice, yeah. Well, those are all of our questions, the formal questions that we had prepared, but I would like to open it up now to general discussion or questions from everybody here. Please feel free to unmute yourselves and speak up or use chat.
Hi, I'll make a comment. Hey Diane. Hey everybody, whoever I don't know. How you guys doing?
I'm just really
proud of Marcia at Purchase taking the lead, and because we had never used LibCal before, so. You know, there was definitely a learning curve there, and certainly Marcia rose to the occasion and led that effort. And I have to admit, you need to all know that the library is closed. The Purchase Library is closed. And as much as that might have been sort of a challenge for a lot of our patrons, it was accepted. It was broadly supported. And I seriously believe it's contributing to our very low cases of COVID on our campus, and even our own president, our own interim president, was actually sent now to SUNY Oneonta to help in that location. And you know, I must say that part of the reason is that we are closed, but we are also very seriously enabling access through contactless. And I'll just echo Marseille in saying that it's really the only unanticipated major issue has been those folks who can't come in on the days that we offer pickup, but it's only been a handful, and we try to accommodate through a one-off pickup, and we have enough folks circulating in the library to do that. The only other issues are really not so much with contactless, but you know, students getting access to printing and scanning. That's a whole other thing. We've had to add signage to our vestibule area so that when people do come in, they know where they can go to other buildings to go print and so forth. But otherwise, I hope that we can continue the smooth operation through the spring. We are very much anticipating that we'll be closed as well in the spring. So thanks and kudos to all of you. Best of luck, everybody.
Oh, thank you. Does anyone have any experiences that they would like to share about running this service? Oh, Susanna's posted in chat that SpringShare is now advertising a pickup manager, maybe just as another part of LibAnswers. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So So she left a link in the chat for everyone. Awesome, thank you. All right, well, if nobody else has anything to share, I'll stop the recording and stop my share.